on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life here on Premier Christian Radio. I'm Jeff Lucas, and in case you haven't noticed, the sweltering temperatures are reminding us that at long last, summer is well and truly here. Now, I love summer in the UK. We're generally rewarded for enduring the relentless chill and rains of winter by glorious green fields. And now that the summer season has finally arrived, it's time, surely, for some fun. Burnt burgers on the grill, gigantic ice cream cones at the seaside, kids having the time of their lives in the park, and perhaps a holiday trip that will prove a rest and a change of scenery. Summer, it's the season of fun. But here's a question, one that should be pondered by Christians and perhaps those who don't follow Jesus yet. What does God think about fun? Is he happy when we're happy? And is he fun? What does he think about parties? I've been pondering the 15th chapter of Luke lately. When we turn to that chapter, we discover that this was a season when Jesus was in trouble with the religious crowd, especially the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They were a Jewish group that were obsessed with the idea that Israel needed to not only keep the law, but also rules and regulations, many of them created by them. Hundreds, even thousands of little pieces of legislation, much of it mindless. They had 229 texts about eating. That's why they were so upset with Jesus, eating with the wrong crowd. They could tell you how much you should greet a bride on her wedding day. They told you that you shouldn't look into a mirror on the Sabbath, because if you did, you might locate a grey hair, and if you did that, you might be tempted to pull the hair out, which was working on the Sabbath. I looked in the mirror this morning, just in search of a hair. Can you pray if you're working in the top of a tree? Is a man ceremonially unclean for touching a mouse? And then, and I'm not making this up, if you are making bread while naked and then you want to use that bread for an offering, is it unclean? That one's been worrying me for quite a while. And so the response that Jesus made to all of that criticism was not an apology, but rather he told three stories about three parties. And the first two of them seemed just a little absurd. The first one was about a shepherd who had a sheep that went wandering, and when he finds the sheep, he calls for a party. The second one really does seem quite bizarre, because a woman loses a coin, a silver coin, a drachma. That was the equivalent of a day's wages. She sweeps the house, and when she finds it, she calls for a party. Now, that's really rather odd, isn't it? Imagine getting that email. I lost a coin. I found a coin. I've got the grill on. Get over here quickly. Let's celebrate. And then, of course, the most famous story that Jesus told, the prodigal son story, which was shocking to Jewish ears. This Jewish lad rushes off and is living for the bright lights in a distant country. And everything goes wrong for him. He ends up snacking with pigs, which again was shocking to Jewish ears. He decides to head home, not because of a rumbling conscience, but rather because of a grumbling stomach. And in the story, father sees him in the distance, runs towards him. That was shocking too. Men in that culture would never run, not least because of their long robes. The father collides with the son in a beautiful embrace, kisses the stinky lad on the cheek, and then calls for a big, extravagant party. Put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet, kill the fattened calf. And in that day, you wouldn't kill a fattened calf for a celebration that was attended by less than 200 people. This was a magnificent bash. Again, in the story, the older brother hears the sound of music and dancing as he comes home. Three stories about parties. And when we think about the eating habits of Jesus and the way he launched his ministry at a wedding in Cana, and weddings are times of lots of shared joy and fun, and Jesus kept the party going by providing the wine. When we think about the stories that he repeatedly told, all of this points us to the truth that we're going to have to explore more deeply, and that is that Jesus loves the right kind of fun. So, this week and next weekend too, we're going to think about God and fun. Here's Don Moen with Goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. So, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Don Moen with Goodness of God, and we're thinking about summer fun. You know, I've been in pastoral ministry for a very long time. I've sung a lot of worship songs and I've listened to hundreds, maybe thousands of sermons, but I've never once heard or preached a sermon specifically about fun. And even as you hear me announce the topic for this next couple of weeks, you might be wrinkling your nose just a bit, maybe even a little offended. You might be thinking, Jeff, don't you know what's going on in the world? And you're talking to us about fun? Isn't that rather trivial, frivolous even? Some might be tempted to switch off to this conversation because actually this is a time when you feel deeply sad and you're just trying to survive. And please know, I'm not going to make you feel guilty for sadness. You don't have to feel bad about feeling bad. No, I'm not saying that life is one big party and that it's always fun. And I've been very well acquainted with seasons of depression and sadness in my own life. But as we'll see, I want to suggest that we need fun because life is so serious. Perhaps some would react to the idea of talking about fun on Premier Christian Radio because you've been raised in a rigid legalistic system, which means that when you relax, you feel guilty. If you're doing something fun, you feel that maybe you should be out evangelizing or doing something definitely productive, contained, if I can put it like this, by the stiff corsets of frowning religion. But I want to suggest that as we look at Scripture, that without fun, we do not live as God intended, and we don't represent who He truly is to our world. You see, fun is a serious subject. We all know that fun matters to us. We're hardwired for it. And over the years of history, thousands, maybe millions of games have been created. We play on soil and sand and tarmac and on water. And we know that children absolutely need fun and play for their emotional and social development. But sadly, we forget that adults need fun too. And the Bible tells us that the right kind of fun and pleasure are God's gifts to us in life. 1 Timothy 6:17, God richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. And then in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes 8, we read, I recommend having fun because there's nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. Now, we need to approach that statement with a little caution because most scholars believe it was written by King Solomon, and he had 1,000 wives, so he probably took that just a bit too far. Nevertheless, Solomon's worldview is worth hearing because he's talking about life under the sun, S-U-N, life here on this planet. The right kind of fun and pleasure are God's gifts. Also, you know, if we don't know how to have fun, we will burn out. It was George Bernard Shaw who said, we don't stop playing because we get old. We get old because we stop playing. I must say that in preparing for these two programs about fun, I've been really challenged that I've not been sufficiently intentional about fun. I've been rather lazy about making times for just good, wholesome enjoyment. If we don't know how to have fun, we will look for it in the wrong places. Fun has been hijacked. We read in Galatians 5 some really sobering words. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, drunkenness, orgies and the like. You see, because the world is looking for fun in the wrong places, we have dreadful issues that we have to face, like human trafficking, the drug trade, alcoholism, pornography. These are all the results of people steering themselves in the wrong direction for so-called fun, which is actually destructive, not only for them, but for others who are exploited. Also, if we don't know how to have fun, it can become an idol. It can become a precedent. 2 Timothy 3 talks about those who love pleasure rather than God. You see, that's why God has built boundaries around fun. It's not because He wants to rob us of joy, But he also knows that there are certain things that will harm, even destroy us. This message that we have is not just add Jesus to your life and carry on with the same sinful, destructive lifestyles. No, God wants us to enjoy good fun, but not to worship it. But let's know this, fun, yes, it really is a serious subject. Here's Lauren Daigle in Christ Alone.
My strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in. Love of Christ, I stand. Oh, 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 oh. There in the ground, His body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day. He rose again, and as He stands in victory, since curses lost its grip on me, for I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, first cry to final breath. Oh, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hands till He returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand till He returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
Lauren Daigle in Christ Alone. We're talking about fun, about the truth that fun is a serious subject. But let's be honest. The gifts of laughter and fun have been met with a disapproving frown throughout church history. And as someone who loves humor, loves to tell stories when appropriate in preaching, I've got into quite a lot of trouble over the years. I remember in my own life, as a young Christian, I developed a rather irrational aversion towards anything that was fun. I remember going to a youth camp. I went forward in response after the sermon every night. And I remember one evening when I knelt before the pulpit and said, "Lord, forgive me. I feel happy." Where did I get that idea from? I was part of a vibrant, happy, fun church with an amazing minister who was so full of life. But somehow, inherently, I had this idea that if I was happy, God was unhappy. I remember going to preach at a church and we had an enjoyable time, I think, during the sermon. There was lots of laughter. And then the minister came back to give the benediction and said, "Well, it's been good to laugh, but now let's come to the Lord," suggesting that somehow God was really a cosmic killjoy. I even got an anonymous letter once after preaching somewhere. It said, "Sir, we would see Jesus, not your comedy act. nonsensical gibberish. You are not a preacher, you're a comedian. You have missed your calling. There was no signature on the letter. You see, there's been a long-standing battle that the Christian Church has had with laughter. The 12th century Dominican priest Thomas Aquinas was a bright light in history because he taught that some fun is wrong, but the absence of fun is sinful too. But in many monastic circles, laughter and play were punishable offences. I read of one monastery, if a brother willingly laughs and plays with children, he will be warned 3 times. If he does not stop, he'll be corrected with the most severe punishment. Gregory of Nyssa, a 4th century church leader, dubbed laughter as an enemy of humanity. And in the medieval church in the Middle Ages, if you enjoyed something, well, it was sin. This week, I read a statement by John Burke, a writer who created a beautiful book called Imagine the God of Heaven. And he said, evil's great lie is that God frowns on our merriment. And as I've been reflecting on that, I've gone back to what we read in Genesis, the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and then the serpent appearing to Eve and suggesting not just go eat the fruit of that forbidden tree, but rather the first temptation was the suggestion that God didn't want the first couple to eat from any tree. You see, they're in paradise, but already Satan is trying to portray God as the great prohibitionist, the cosmic killjoy, the one who wants to rob us even of the provision that he's made for us. So here's a question for us to ponder this week. Have we been shaped by a historical hangover in the church, an aversion to fun, a messed up view of reverence, which may involve being quiet and solemn at times, but when we revere someone, we actually just do what they want us to do? Reverence and quietness are not the same thing. I believe that there is quite the place for fun and joy and laughter, not only in our Christian lives, but also in the Christian church. Here's Charity Gale, I Speak Jesus.
Jesus, over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. We'll be right back.
in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Charity Gal, I Speak Jesus. Well, we've been talking about fun this evening. We've been considering how the gifts of laughter and fun have been met with a disapproving frown throughout church history. I hope you can join me next week, because we're going to carry on with the conversation. We will see that at the heart of the universe is God, the party planner. And we'll see that fun really matters, because laughter is a sign of life. Finally, we'll discover that we celebrate that with Jesus in his coming, we have the last laugh. Join me next Sunday at 8. Let's keep talking about fun. And in the meantime, in the continuing summer weather, we hope, have good, clean fun.
Lucas on Life.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.